This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Do you know when the first Thanksgiving occurred? Do you know when history will record the last Thanksgiving? Well, we're going to find out here today on Viewpoint, and I'm glad that you joined us. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And indeed, we do speak with thanksgiving and with conviction concerning this opportunity that we have to give thanks. Give thanks is to be remembered. Thanksgiving frees us from the awful burden of pride that prompts us to seize control of our own destiny. And in this time of personal confusion and national turmoil, giving thanks to God for his hand in our past may be just the thing, the prescription needed to restore his protective healing hand for our future. So, give it a try, verbalize it out loud, lead your spouse, your children, your grandchildren to do it together. May all who come behind us find us faithful in giving thanks. It's the will of God concerning you. Well, a well-taught Southerner knows that America's first Thanksgiving was not in 1621 at the Plymouth Plantation, but in 1619 at Berkeley Hundred in Virginia. But it was the deep Christian faith of the Pilgrims and Puritans of Massachusetts that compelled the nation to honor their sacrifice and risk and commitment to the cause of Christ and to join them centuries later in thanksgiving for his blessings. And that pattern is going to be repeated in the end times. All who have lived as strangers and pilgrims on earth, pursuing Christ and his new world, will celebrate history's final Thanksgiving. In fact, in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, it says they will cry, blessing and glory and thanksgiving to our God forever and ever. Amen. The first and last Thanksgivings and everything in between. Here on Viewpoint today, and I'm so glad that you've joined us. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for each one of our listeners who, over the past 30-plus years, have continued to look to this program for encouragement, for strength, for vision, not just for information, but for personal transformation and inspiration, encouragement, and discipleship, and building up and encouraging one another in preparation for the times that are coming when we will give and have the greatest Thanksgiving of all history before our Lord in heaven. So, do you want to have peace with God? Well, if you want to have peace with God, you're going to want to give thanks. In fact, if you look at the Old Testament, you find that they were to offer their sacrifices with thanksgiving. A prayer of thanksgiving brings peace with God, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4. In Colossians, he says, let the peace of God rule in your heart and be thankful. So if you go back to the Old Testament, you also find that thanksgiving was deemed to be a sacrifice. When you offer sacrifice of thanksgiving, offer it at your own will. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, said the psalmist. Do you want to know what the will of God is? Well, there's only one place that I know of specifically in the Bible that says specifically what the will of God is. And it says in the book of Thessalonians, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. If you're not giving thanks, you're not fulfilling God's will. You're not doing God's will. So if you don't have a heart of gratitude, you don't have God's heart. Oh, wow. That's pretty profound, isn't it? An attitude of gratitude is essential to be a true follower of our Lord Jesus Christ and his follower because Jesus gave thanks. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Let us come before his face with thanksgiving. Let's enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So do you want to be prepared for Christ's second coming? Well, guess what? The Apostle Paul said in Timothy, in the last days, perilous times will come. People will be unthankful and unholy. Wow. Maybe that's our time. The day of the Lord will come. So be sober in everything. Give thanks, the Apostle Paul said. And then again in Revelation 7, multitude will cry before God and the Lamb, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Wow. Well, that kind of ties it all together, except we're going to take a further look today at what happened in our history, and I'm glad again that you have joined us. So, it's a rare thing, a very rare thing among nations to have official thanksgiving and gratitude to God. In 1620, the pilgrims left Holland for England, then intended to sail to Jamestown, but got blown off course to Massachusetts. Half of the pilgrims died the first winter, but the next year, with the help of Squanto, the pilgrims had an abundant harvest in 1621. The pilgrim leader Edward Winslow wrote, "Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent four men on fowling," in other words, to go out and catch some birds, "so that we might have a special manner rejoice together after we had gathered the fruit of our labors. The four went out in one day, killed as much fowl as, with a little help beside, served the entire company almost a week. Indians coming among them, and among the rest, their greatest king, Massasoit, with some 90 men, whom for 3 days, they said, we entertained and feasted. They went out and killed 5 deer, which they brought to the plantation and bestowed on our governor and upon the captain and others." Do you know that in Virginia they still do that? The native-born still present the governor of Virginia with a deer. That's right. After the Declaration of Independence, the first National Day of Thanksgiving was declared, November 1st, 1777, by the Continental Congress. That was following the victory of the Battle of Saratoga. They said, "With grateful feeling of our hearts, we join the penitent confession of their manifold sins, that it may please God, through the merits of Jesus Christ, mercifully to forgive and blot them out of remembrance, and under the providence of Almighty God, secure for these United States the greatest of all human blessings, independence and peace." Wow. After passing the Bill of Rights, which included the First Amendment, Congress requested President George Washington to issue a National Day of Thanksgiving, which he did on October 3rd, 1789. Here's what he said. "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging grateful hearts the many signal favors of God, now therefore do I recommend Thursday, the 26th day of November, to be devoted by the people of these United States for thanksgiving to that glorious being, the founder of our country." We'll be back, friends. This is Viewpoint. The truth about Thanksgiving.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. Today we talk of the truth about Thanksgiving. And in fact, Thanksgiving is rooted in truth, God's truth, because he said, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you." So if you're not giving thanks, if you don't have a grateful heart, you're not following the will of God. And if we're not following the will of God, then whose will are we following? Very interesting, isn't it? So this matter of thanksgiving And having a heart of gratitude is at the very heart of God's desire and expectation for each one of us. And actually, there are many blessings that flow from that attitude of gratitude and the giving of thanks. We continue on with a short description of the history of Thanksgiving here in our country, which is the most unusual among nations, a very unusual thing among nations. Where is there a country in the world that has a nationally dedicated Thanksgiving Day? Where is that? I don't know that it exists. So it's a special thing. After the War of 1812 was ended, President James Madison proclaimed a day of Thanksgiving on March 4th, 1815. To be observed by the people of the United States with religious solemnity as a day of thanksgiving and of devout acknowledgments to Almighty God for his goodness manifested in restoring to them the blessings of peace. No people, he said, ought to feel greater obligation to celebrate the goodness of the great disposer of events and of the destiny of nations than the people of the United States. Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the first annual National Day of Thanksgiving, October 3rd, 1863, in the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity. President Teddy Roosevelt acknowledged how rare America is in its National Day of Praise and Thanksgiving proclamation on October 24th, 1903. He said, "During the last year, the Lord has dealt bountifully with us, and it behooves us not only to rejoice greatly because of what has been given us, but to accept it with a solemn sense of responsibility, realizing that under heaven it rests with us ourselves to show that we are worthy to use aright what has thus been entrusted to our care. No other place," he said, "and at no other time has the experiment of government of the people, by the people and for the people, been tried on so vast a scale here as in our own country. Therefore," Teddy Roosevelt said, "in thanking God for the mercies extended to us in the past, we beseech him that he may not withhold them from us in the future." But what if we don't give thanks? What if as a people we're not grateful? What if as a people we begin to think that we have accomplished all this of ourselves because of, well, because of our greatness, because of whoever, whatever we think it is? Hitler thought it was because it was an Aryan people. Well, we have forsaken that idea in the United States of America, but apparently our founders thought it was because we were a God-fearing people. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So, is that what brings the fullness of thanksgiving? Well, if we're not a God-fearing people, then we're fearing something else, and we're going to be grateful to something else, or even just ourselves. And if we don't have an attitude of gratitude, we're going to think that we accomplished it all of ourselves, and pride is going to take hold and devour us. And pride is the driving force of all sin. So you can begin to see why Thanksgiving would be absolutely essential for us. And if we are truly, perhaps there is nothing more salutary to show that we are an exceptionalist nation in this regard, that our founding is rooted in gratefulness and thanksgiving to God, and that that paraded itself through our history up until recent times. But even in recent times, some of the declarations that have been set forth by presidents of the United States did not truly honor God. In fact, more and more, they devolved into looking to ourselves and blessing ourselves rather than trusting God to bless us. And that does not hold well, bode well for the future of our country, does it? So, this matter of giving of thanks is absolutely essential. The event that Americans commonly call the first Thanksgiving was celebrated, as we said, by the Pilgrims after their first harvest in the New World in 1621. It lasted for 3 days and was attended by 90 Native Americans and 53 Pilgrims. The New England colonists were accustomed to regularly celebrating Thanksgivings, that is, days of prayer, thanking God for blessings such as a military victory or the end of a drought. So there we have it. So let's take a further look at this matter of Thanksgiving and gratitude and why it is so absolutely quintessential, essential for us as followers of Jesus Christ. Indeed, it is. From the beginning of the book to the end of the book, gratitude and thanksgiving are woven. That seems to indicate, then, that this is a very essential thing in the mind and heart of God. So, one writer talking about Thanksgiving, an op-ed piece in the Richmond Times-Dispatch, a place by Julio Vitulo Martin, said, "And our rich blessings continue to flow because of Thanksgiving. As Americans, we tend to give thanks seriously only when we're threatened. The rest of the time, we like to think that our wealth, safety, and happiness are mainly due to our own virtue and talents. So we have to remind ourselves regularly that our blessings are extraordinary, that we owe many thanks, including our forebears, and to the God that they served." So, as you gather together with your family and friends, what are you going to do? Are you going to truly give thanks? Is this going to be some sort of trite, let's thank God for our food? Or is it going to be a true, genuine focus of your family and friends on the issue, the matter of gratitude? Are they going to be asked to give an opportunity to express gratitude to the Lord for various things that he has provided? I was thinking in preparation for today's program of the words of the song by Andre Crouch years ago. Very, very famous in song sung all over the country. "How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved that you gave to give your life for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I have and ever hope to be, I owe to you. To God be the glory." So here's that question that kind of hovers over us. How can I say thanks? How would you answer that question? How can I say thanks? Well, you could express it with words, truly. And that would be a first thing. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if we're not speaking gratitude and thanksgiving, what are we speaking? What is the abundance of our heart? So we kind of have to check ourselves, don't we? This is the reason why we're called to remember. The children of Israel were called to remember, 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 remember. Remember what? Remember the mighty acts of God. Why? So that you can give thanks, so that you can be grateful, so that you don't realize that it's all about you, that it's about God and what he did. You see, if we're giving thanks, then we realize that God cares for us. Therefore, if we know that God cares for us, we can cast our care upon him, for he cares for us. And be thankful. Have hearts full of gratitude. Each Thanksgiving, we should remember Abraham Lincoln's words of caution. "We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. So before we sit down to eat, or maybe afterward, we should give thanks for our nation's blessings, which far exceed anything that could be derived from our individual wisdom and virtue, and, I would say, for the blessings that have been bestowed upon each of us and our families." So let me share with you. Every year, we gather our family together at our home. This Thanksgiving, about somewhere between 16 and 18, not sure, seems to flux, somewhere between 16 and 18, we'll gather at our table. And indeed, each member of the family brings their contribution to the table. And man, is it good. It is delicious beyond all comprehension. And even that alone is worthy of giving thanks. And how the whole family contributes together, not laying the burden or the expense on any one person to feed such a mob. Well, that being the case then, we eat, we rejoice, we have great conversation, we fellowship together in the name of the Lord, and then, following that, we gather the family together in the family room. Why? Well, so that we can remember, so that we can give real focus for the purpose of the day, for the purpose of our gathering together. It's not just to eat a big meal, and it certainly isn't to watch a football game, because that has nothing whatsoever to do with Thanksgiving. It may be something that you do, but it has nothing to do with Thanksgiving. So what we do, we focus on the giving of thanks, which has to do with our hearts. The heart of the matter is always the heart. And it's fascinating when you go around a room and you inquire what people think, what they're thinking about the matter of thanks and gratitude. What are you grateful for? And people come up with trite little things and have a very hard time thinking about what I'm grateful for. So that's why we have to remember. That's why we even have a Thanksgiving Day, because every year it gives us an opportunity as Americans rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ to truly be grateful for that gospel and for its implications in each one of our lives. And if we're not grateful for that, if we don't see that, if we aren't cognizant of it, then what is there to be grateful for? So it forces us to really consider the matter of our attitudes toward God and even toward others. Do we have a grateful heart? There's a song that we used to sing, still do, give thanks with a grateful heart. Well, it's hard to give thanks if you don't have a grateful heart, right? So we give thanks with a grateful heart. But if we don't have a grateful heart, how can we give thanks? We can't. And so the giving of thanks is a litmus paper test of whether we have a grateful heart. We're talking about the truth about Thanksgiving, you see. It's not just about eating a nice big meal. It's not about turkey. Those are just cultural traditions. What God's looking for is not tradition so much as truth. The traditions give us an opportunity to deal with the truth about Thanksgiving. And so Thanksgiving had to do with the birth of our country that was rooted in trust in God. When those pilgrims came across, they lost half of their people in the journey over. They lost half of their people. So how could they give thanks? How could they give thanks having lost half of their people? They started out with, what, over 100, and they ended up with 53, 54 people on the first Thanksgiving? How could they give thanks? Because their hearts and their attitudes were adjusted in such a way that notwithstanding the difficulties that they had faced, they were there. And God was using them, in fact, unwittingly to them, to set the course of a whole country. Now, that's something to give thanks for, isn't it? Wow. You think back about those precious people and what they had to endure. We hardly even have a consciousness of enduring anything these days, other than maybe a little inflation. Well, can we still be grateful amid inflation? We better. It's the will of God concerning us. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Let me just remind you, you might be grateful for this, at least those who have taken us up on this opportunity are grateful, that one of our listeners about 2 weeks ago asked us if we would not make available a special package of all of my books at a discounted price so that those who would like to have them would be able to get them all at one time. There are 11 of them to date. I'm about three quarters through the writing of number 12, and that's not included in this package. So, the special package is this. For $150, we will provide all 11 of those books in your hands, plus $26 postage and handling. Now, when you do the postage and handling, instead of $6 for every book, it's $6 for the first book and only $2 for each additional book. So, a total of $26 plus $150. And that actually comes to a much lower price than even the discounted prices that are already on our website. So it's a way for you to get control, get these books in your hands, which are life-giving books, life-changing books, destiny-changing books, hope direction books. All of them are designed to prepare us for the times that we're living in and the times that are ahead. All of them, starting with Renewing the Soul of America. Renewing the Soul of America, one person at a time, beginning with you. So that's included, Out of Egypt, Hearts of the Fathers, Lasting Love, Messiah, Antichrist, When Persecution Comes, all of them, Hearts of the Fathers, every single one of them is included, all 11 titles. And I hope you'll avail yourself of that. Here's one thing. If you have, let's say you have two or three of the books, but you don't have all of them, you can get all of them for the price that you paid for three or four books. Just about. And here's what you can do. You can become, shall we say, a missionary, so to speak, an emissary for the kingdom of God to get the message out to those in your sphere of influence, your friends, your relatives, your family, your pastor, your Sunday school teacher, those in your, maybe somebody that you work with. There are a whole range of people that you can be thinking about to put this in your hands. Could be a great gift that you give them. You remember, we are in this season, a gift-giving season, because we're so thankful, right? So go to the website, saveus.org, and you'll find there the special place that's ordained for you to go and make that special order. Now, that doesn't mean you can't get any of the other books separately, you can, and a very, very fair price. But on the other hand, if you'd like to join in this opportunity, go to the website, saveus.org, and order there. Or you can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or you can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. And when you write, you're going to put the special, 11-book special, and you're going to write your check for $150 plus $26. That's $176. And we will get those to you ASAP. Okay, now we move forward. And we indicated earlier on as we opened the program that the first Thanksgiving was not actually with the Pilgrims. And it certainly wasn't with the Puritans, but it was the Pilgrims up there in Mass. It wasn't with the Pilgrims in 1621. It was with the, well, they were a different group of Pilgrims, so to speak, that landed at Berkeley Hundred in Virginia. And I've been to the site. I've seen the plaque that they set forth there, their Thanksgiving. The first English-speaking observance of Thanksgiving occurred in 1619 on the site is what now called Berkeley Plantation, just east of Richmond, Virginia, along the James River. Here's what they said. We ordain that the day of our ship's arrival at the place assigned for the plantation in the land of Virginia shall be yearly and perpetually kept holy as a day of thanksgiving to Almighty God. There were 35 settlers and 19 crewmen aboard the small but seaworthy English vessel called the Good Ship Margaret. It arrived at Berkeley Hundred on December 4th, went ashore in a holy hush. They knelt and began giving thanks to God for guiding and keeping them safe during their 3,000-mile voyage across the Atlantic Ocean from Bristol, England. Actually, their prayer actions that day were quite in keeping with the 1606 First Virginia Charter, which was like the birth certificate of American civilization with its single written purpose. Here was the written purpose: propagating of Christian religion, which purpose was repeated both in the 1609 second and 1612 third Virginia charters and evidenced by the cross-raising service at Cape Henry in 1607, directly followed during the next 4 weeks by cross plantings along the James River up to the famous Christopher Newport cross on a small island right at the fall line of today's Richmond, Virginia, from which this broadcast emanates. Well, we're giving you the truth about Thanksgiving and its history, but more than that, the very essence of it, from God's viewpoint, it's not just about pilgrims traveling. It's about the hearts of we the people. And, of course, the first three words of our Constitution, its preamble, are we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, promote domestic tranquility, and provide for a common defense, and promote the general welfare of we the people, to ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Boy, I was able to repeat that, wasn't I? I thank God for that ability still to repeat that from memory. Well, so when I repeat that from memory, what I'm actually doing is giving thanks for what was set forth in that document. I'm grateful, and that's why I remember it, because it's significant. That which is significant is worth remembering. If you don't remember something, the likelihood is you don't attach much significance to it. Every once in a while, my wife will say, Chuck, how can you remember so many things? How could you remember that? Well, the reason I can remember it is because it seems significant to me. And so I remember it. I remember the mighty acts of God. I remember the mighty acts of God in our family. I remember the mighty acts of God in our marriage. I remember those things. I remember the things that are critically important in the overall history of our country. I give thanks for that. I've been grateful for that since I was 10 years old. And certainly at 13, when in junior high school, eighth grade, we had focus on American history and the United States Constitution. I have forever been grateful. That's why I remember the songs of our history. Why do I remember the songs of our history? Because they're important. They reflect the mind and the heart of we the people in the forming of the country and what we think of our country in the eyes of God. I mean, what do we do with a song that talks about great God, our King? Or America, America, God, shed thy, forgive thy every flaw, until the whole be self-control, thy liberty and law. America the Beautiful. Or even the last stanza of our national anthem, O thus be it e'er when free men shall stand, between our loved homes and the war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power, that's God, who hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. Then the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave. You see, all of these national songs focus on our Lord and on his impetus in forming the country, even through thick and thin, even through trial and tribulation. This country was not formed on a bed of roses. It was formed by people who sacrificed their lives for something that was important, and that was the kingdom of God and freedom. To get out that message, did you know that 12 of the original 13 colonies' constitutions contain the express purpose that those states were formed for the advancement of the kingdom of God and the spreading of the gospel? Did you know that? Should we be grateful for that? Absolutely we should, because it sets forth the statement of purpose for those states in which you live and that have long forsaken the express purpose for which they were formed. Should that not say something to us about our role in reestablishing and moving forward with those express purposes? Indeed, they should. So how can I say thanks, asked Andre Crouch, for the things you have done for me, things so undeserved that you gave to prove your love for me? Well, we can say thanks both with our words and with our actions. We say thanks or lack of saying thanks every single day. One way or the other, we do. That's the truth of Thanksgiving. Now, interestingly, it's not just about our time now, but it's about the end times. Here's a series of questions. How can I say thanks? Well, we're talking about that. When should I say thanks? Every day, in many ways. With words, you can express thanks. When was the last time you expressed gratitude and thanks to your wife or your husband or to your kids or to others that were around you? Or do you just take it all for granted? How about for the person that serves you at the restaurant? Why should we say thanks? Because God says it's his will. So many things, friends. Thanksgiving.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
It was about 25 years ago when the Holy Spirit put on my heart about this issue of gratitude. And I thought that I was basically a grateful person, a thankful person. But the Lord somehow caused a special focus to be put in my own mind and heart And I began to realize I was not the grateful person that I thought I was. And it affected everything I did. It affected how I looked at people. It affected how I looked at my wife. It affected how I looked at issues of our time. Everything. It affected everything. And so God began to deal with me concerning that. And it required repentance. First of all, I had to confess, Lord, I realize you're bringing this to me because I'm not the grateful person that I think I am and want to be. So help me to be that kind of a person. And that led me on a journey of what you would call repentance. In other words, conforming my ways, my attitude, my behavior, my speech, and so on, to gratitude, to an attitude of gratitude, not to be phony, not to express phoniness. People will express phonies in gratitude or thanksgiving to gain somebody's attention or to try to manipulate them to get something. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the heart, an attitude of gratitude in the heart. And so as I began to develop in that, it changed everything. Really, it changed everything. My whole outlook, everything changed. And I was not a negative person leading up to that. But it sure changed a lot in my life. And I can't escape an attitude of gratitude now because it's endemic. It's deeply rooted in my heart and in my spirit. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for those who listen regularly to this program, who express their hearts and their concerns. Even this morning, as I talked with a gentleman who had called yesterday, and in deep distress, he lost his wife a few months ago and is just in deep distress. And I was able to encourage him, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful for David. He has been such a blessing to me and to this ministry. There's a blind gentleman who listens to this program regularly. I'm so grateful for him. He is so encouraging. Sometimes it's the people who seem to have the least to be grateful for that actually we can be most grateful for. Something about them, they touch our hearts, they touch our relationships, they inspire us, they encourage us, and we can encourage them, you see. We have the opportunity to make a difference. Gratitude, the attitude of gratitude expressed. You see, you can't just keep an attitude of gratitude inside you. It has to be expressed. It has to be expressed in your words. It has to be expressed in the openness of your mind and heart. Hospitality is one of the greatest ways to express gratitude and agape love. An open heart, open hand, and open home will change your world. It really will. And so you'll find that book, The Power of Hospitality, including in those 11 books that we offered. It'll change your life. I was so grateful when a man contacted us after receiving that first group of 11 books. He said, the very first book I went for was the smallest one of all. It said, Lasting Love, Enduring Secrets for Marital Success. He said, as I read that, I realized if only I had had that book a year before, what a difference it would have made in my life. Well, the mere fact that he expressed that back to us, we're so grateful for. Why? Because it means that what we're doing means something to people. It's life-changing. And if that's what you're ordained to do, then you have to be grateful. It's what God is doing in and through people's hearts and lives. And so we're grateful for you. Grateful for those who have been incredibly many, very selfless and sacrificial in their giving to this ministry. Not just once or twice, but for years, months on end, every single month. And I'm not talking about $10 a month. Maybe 100 times that. It's amazing, friends, We are so, so grateful. But for what are you grateful? Give thanks with a grateful heart. What are you grateful for? Can you delve into the depths of your own mind and heart and memory? Would you ask the Lord to somehow reveal in the midst of the tumult of our time? We all have issues. We all have situations. Today, I had to attend the funeral of a man who is well respected as a Christian businessman. But people were giving thanks. There was no weeping and gnashing of teeth. People were giving thanks. Why? Because the man was worthy of our thanks and gratitude. He's affected the lives of untold numbers of people in many ways. How has your life affected other people because of your faithfulness and even attitude of gratitude? If we really want the Lord to say at the end of our lives, well done, thou good and faithful servant, somehow it's going to be connected with gratitude. So what should cause me to be grateful? Well, the mere fact that, number one, we have every reason in the world to be grateful, and secondly, that God commands us to be grateful, and third, that it should be resident deeply in our hearts, that's why we should give thanks. Where? Everywhere we go. To whom? To everyone we come in contact with that we have a meaningful contact with. Give thanks. So, as we move forward here to kind of wrap up in these last few minutes, gratitude is something that's a matter of, it's not frivolous. It's something of considerable gravity. That's how important it is. It's a matter of gravity. It's a matter of grace, enabling power. It's a matter of growth, Christian growth. It's the antidote to griping and complaining. You remember what kept the children of Israel out of Egypt? Out of Israel, out of the promised land after they left Egypt? It was griping and complaining. They were not grateful. They didn't trust God. Their lack of gratitude revealed they didn't trust God. And God said, I can't let you in my promised land. I'm not going to allow such stiff-necked, ungrateful, unholy, unrighteous people into my promised land. Only two got in. Only two of 600,000 men of age 20 and older who left Egypt were allowed into the promised land. Only two. God says it's because they had another spirit. What was that spirit? Trusting God and an attitude of gratitude. So, as we wrap up here, let me just share a few things with you concerning the truth about Thanksgiving. First of all, gratitude is the way of God. Jesus was grateful to the Father continually. Even in the midst of the greatest trial of his life in Gethsemane, he realized that this was his opportunity to fulfill God's intended purpose for his life. That it wasn't all about performing miracles. Wasn't about getting the accolades of the people. It was about pleasing God. And so he said, you know what, Lord? If it's at all possible, deliver me from what's about to take place. Nevertheless, your will be done. So Jesus was grateful for the calling that God had given him, the Father had given him, because without that, He knew the world was hopeless. You and I were hopeless. We couldn't save ourselves. Gratitude is the way of God. First of all, it has to do with purpose. If we're truly men and women of true Christian faith, gratitude is part of our calling. There is no genuine faith without a heart of gratitude. I don't believe there is. It's impossible. Because if you're not grateful, you think you save yourself. Also, power. Gratitude gives an opportunity for us to experience the power of God in ways for true change. It also is the foundation of praise, which keeps us in the true focus of what God intends for our lives. Praise. Purity. Why? Because gratitude is an issue of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and we behave. And so it has to do with purity in our lives. And then finally, God makes it very plain, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, that gratitude has everything to do with whether we have peace. Whether we have peace in our lives. If there's ever a time when we need to experience that peace, the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that will keep our minds and our hearts pure before Him, that will enable us to be able to stand in the evil day, that will enable us to endure persecution and still be grateful. Grateful that we are willing and able to endure as did Jesus, as proof that we're truly His disciples. You see, gratitude has so many expressions and is so pervasive in its application and implications that we had to talk today about the truth about Thanksgiving. It's not just a matter of a cultural tradition. It's a matter of truth. Some may say, well, what is truth? Like Pontius Pilate there, that crusty Roman governor. What is truth? You've just heard it. You've just heard it. And in the last days, the final events of world history will be with the true believers in heaven, are escorted before the Father in heaven and His Son, Jesus Christ. And that multitude of true, the remnant of true believers, whose hearts are grateful, will sing blessing and honor, glory and power and thanksgiving be unto the Lord our God forever and ever. And to that we say, amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you this Thanksgiving. And may He give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, become a partner with us, friends. If you're grateful for what this program provides and has for over 30 years now, every day, live, 5 days a week for 30 years. Maybe, just maybe, God will stir in your mind and your heart. You give an expression of gratitude, maybe, not just once, maybe sizable for once, maybe on an ongoing basis, as so many have done, monthly. Maybe an automatic gift that you set up there on our website, saveus.org. Maybe you don't need that kind of prompting, you just do it yourself. You like to write a check, and that's great. That's a good thing. You can give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. God bless. Be a blessing, my friends, and lead your families in true Thanksgiving.
Been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.